When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What it is, welcome to The Wise Men with special crew in tonight. As you could hear him squawking, Aaron is here. NWA heavyweight champion, two-time heavyweight champion, Trevor Murdoch, sure. My cousin. Ego Fantastico, or as I affectionately call him, R. Rilla. And of course, myself, Tyrus, we're all in the house today. Did I miss anybody? I think I got everybody.
No, you got everybody.
All right, phenomenal. So, it's been about a week, so I guess we'll talk about it. Flair's last match. Ego and I were watching it kind of together. We were texting back and forth. We were in a group text, so we were all kind of in it, I think.
Yes, we were all in it.
We were all in it. There was so much to unpack.
There's a lot of mixed emotions in this one, isn't there?
Yeah, like who wants to start it?
Let's start from the top. Okay. So he comes out through the entranceway. Ric Flair comes out through the entranceway and he turns around. At first, I didn't know what he was doing. I thought he was messing with his robe. What was your guys' reaction when he turns around very awkwardly to reveal the big gold belt? To me, I was like, what are you doing? Why are you turning around? I didn't get the Ric Flair entrance, like, bigger than God type of feel from this entrance. What did you get from his entrance coming out?
It's one of those scenarios where I feel like we all go in with the best intentions of, good for him. This is his last one. So you're kind of a little bit more accepting of the fact of things just aren't the Ric Flair that we're all used to seeing.
Sure.
So for me, I popped for the belt. But his little nuances of out of steps and stuff like that, you automatically go into, he is 70 years old.
Yeah. What, 77 or 70?
Once you get past 70, I just,
he might not be old enough to be president yet. So,
it's at 73.
Yeah, he's 73. So he's still got a few years to go. He's still a young man. I kind of looked at it like I remember Richard Pryor, who was everything to me. And when he was towards the end, he was given an award. And I remember him saying, I think it was to Arsenio Hall. He was sitting there holding the award and he just said, before they were expecting him to say something, he's like, why'd you give me this heavy ass trophy? Like, I can't hold it. It's too damn heavy. And I felt like that when Flair had that belt. I think he was fine. I think the belt was just too damn heavy.
Well,
it was too big to wear around his waist, wasn't it? It was weird. It was weird.
It was weird.
I'll only hope that I'm walking like that when I'm 73. Let me say that. But I always go back to that special match he had with Shawn Michaels.
Yep.
And I always felt like that should have been it because he at that age was phenomenal. And I'm trying to be respectful.
He went out respectfully in that.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like everybody had their heads up, they're clapping their hands. They were like, God dang, you are still the man. And maybe it's just me, but a part of me would have rather gone out that, you know what I mean? That's the image, at least for me personally as a wrestler, that's the image I would have wanted left to the people.
I think
he did some TNA stuff after that.
I think as a general opinion, the entire wrestling world believes that was the real last match because you got everything there. You got the Ric Flair walking down confident through the entrance way. You got the rope. You got the fireworks. You had an amazing opponent and you had an emotional roller coaster. Everyone remembers, I'm sorry, I love you. That is one of the biggest things to come out of that. And with this one, for me, I didn't get any of that. I got more of a showcase of what's going to happen next type of feel. I wasn't emotionally invested in this tag match going into it. If you poll 100 people, HBK Ric Flair is his real last match.
Yeah, I think that's when he can still go. But I mean, how much of it, but let's, I'm not faulting them. You know, the place was sold out, at least appeared, yep. It was sold out. Everyone came to see him. We watched. I think everyone who has put on a pair of boots or tights or whatever, you know, if that would have been Hogan, Flair, there's certain guys that, you know, if they're going to do something, you almost have to watch out of a sense of loyalty. But there's the other side of it, and I always talk about this, is for every – there's only one Ric Flair, and there's probably about 500 guys. Yes, Aaron. And there was only 500 guys. You know, there's like 500 guys that are – or probably more – that are still trying to do this because they don't have anything else. And but there's 100%. There's no mob of people. There's no Undertaker and Mick Foley coming to your matches. And Aaron, like, you're kind of going through transition right now. Do you ever, there was a point where I thought, you know, you always think of that movie, The Wrestler, which I hate, because I feel like it just showed the wrong side of a very small group of us. But that
was the worst of the worst, bro. That's
it was the worst perception of us.
Yes, absolutely. But it's also, in my opinion, on the flip side, it's a very real depiction of what could happen if you have nothing else.
Right.
And that's, you know, I give Mickey Rourke credit for that. But, you know, not to whatever. I mean, I know I have been kind of silent on this whole thing. My take on it, and I just want to say this, and I texted you all this while it was going on. I firmly believe that that was a pilot episode of a TV show that Crockett is going to shop to different networks.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
100%. And I wonder if it was, if Rick was coaxed into doing it to have that draw, to really bring people and just kind of get asses in seats so they could shoot something that looks comparable to WWE or AEW. And I thought production value, I would have liked to have seen a little more lights on the actual crowd, maybe. But then again, it had that old school feel. And, you know, my take on it, I think that this could have been kind of a catalyst into something bigger. And if this was Rick sacrificing himself or whatever for the business to continue, I mean, maybe I think too much, but I was just, you know, I felt bad in a lot of ways because that's not the Ric Flair that I want to remember.
Yeah. Well, I think, let's be honest, man. Promoters are going to promote. They'll promote us until, like, we're horses until we can't run anymore, and then they'll just replace us.
Absolutely.
So, you know, if it was a pilot for a TV show, I would hope the understanding would have been that Rick had a place there. You know, because at the end of the day, you want to be able to retire. I don't care who you are, what sport you're in, what line of profession. When you get to be in your 70s, you would hope that you did enough in your life to where you don't have to do the same work you did when you were in your 40s or your 30s. I think that's across the board.
And could I say one more thing about Jeff Jarrett's credit? When you had people in there, they were Andrade and Jay, and this is not to take away anything from them, but they were working a style that was a little more, I say, contemporary. And if you listen to the people, when Jeff Jarrett got in there, so this has nothing really to do with Ric Flair, so I think Jeff Jarrett is a phenomenal in-ring talent. I think he's very, you know, skilled at what he does. And to listen to the people do it, I think that is really, really telling about how, like, the style that we're trying to do in the NWA as opposed to what's going on. And you saw the results, more or less. And I'll shut up now.
Yeah. Well, you can't shut up. It's a podcast. The hell?
Well, one of the things that, like, my wife was watching that match with me and the whole thing, one of the things, like, she felt from it, she said that she felt like this was more for Rick than anybody. And I didn't really actually look at the match like that. I looked at it just like you guys, as a fan going, you know, man, I wish this was better, man, I should have done that. But if you look at that whole scenario, that whole thing set up, that was for Rick. I remember hearing rumors that he, you know, when he did have that match with Sean, he was kind of being pushed to not wrestle anymore and was kind of forced into that situation with Sean. So maybe we're looking at this wrong in the aspect of the fans, but more of a thank you for Rick. You know what I mean? For him to have
I can be like, if it was one more day in the sun for him, then yeah, that's cool. And sometimes you have to be forced. I would never, you know, forcing someone to retire at that time, he was what, in his 50s?
Yeah.
And he had been up, you know, Ric Flair's life, watch any of the specials on it. He is, as he told me one time in a bar, it was like me, Dusty Rhodes, rest his soul, Booker T, Haku, and it was WrestleMania in New York. And we were having drinks. Of course, the young guy had to pay for everything. And I remember it was like,
and still didn't learn how to wrestle from him.
Yeah, watch it. And
wow,
zing! Here we go. We said we'd play nice. No,
these are just the truth. I mean, you called him ugly. I saw you called Trevor ugly. I mean, that's a low blow.
Especially on national TV. Come on, man.
Yeah, you don't attack the way a man looks, his facial structure on national television. My God.
I immediately text Trevor and I said, my bad, I was joking. I had 15 seconds and I had to say something. And
that's the first thing that popped in your head.
Yeah.
Sir Aaron is stirring the pot, getting us off topic here, sir. Stop it.
Stirring the pot, bringing facts to light. That's all. That's all I do is I highlight the facts. I mean,
Unfortunately, nobody laughed about it, though. So that was a good thing.
Hey.
Yeah.
Why are you perfect doing that? Time. You know they laughed and they cheered.
Oh, I know. That's why I said it.
Yeah.
Oh,
all right. Now everybody jumping on the pile.
Okay.
I'm not Trevor.
My bad.
I just want to reset. My point is that, man, I think you have sometimes it's your peers that got to tell you when. Because that damn cheering crowd or booing crowd, that is a drug. And there is nothing like it. And you can't replace it. When that becomes your true love, it's a fake love because it's never gonna love you back. It's not gonna stay with you.
Amen.
And and a lot of times you lose out the things that matter: family, friends, other careers and opportunities because you're chasing that crowd because you get that false love. Those fans cheering and loving you, and for the 15 to 20 minutes you're out there, or in some cases even less than that, you're on top of the world. The problem is when you go back through that curtain, there's no more cheering. And you got to look in the mirror. And Ric Flair is different. Hogan's different. But Undertaker's different. Foley, different. Goldberg, different. But the vast majority of us, it's over probably a year before we think it's even over. You know, and then you got to have you got to have something. The same thing with NFL guys and baseball guys and stuff like that, basketball. You got to have something because you hate seeing the old pro. You know, you just.
So is that how you want to go out? Like, no, like somebody, one of your boys coming up to you going, Tyrus.
It almost happened. Let's be real.
Okay.
When I came back to the NWA, my first match, Trevor, what'd you say?
Well,
let's be real.
You know what I mean?
What'd you say?
I don't remember the exact words. I know it wasn't positive. It was straightforward, but like
you said, I don't know.
Well, can I jump in here and say that, Trevor? You know this is that.
Wait a minute.
Our legend is here. My sound guy's watching baseball.
You got to get an introduction.
Yeah. Wow.
I came to Trevor after a match and I said, and it was a six man in NWA. And I said, Trevor, I'm going to just ask you, and I want you to be honest. When I become that guy, when everybody else in the ring has to work around, I need you to tell me that because I never want to be that guy.
Yep.
No. NWA commentator Tim Storm is here, everyone.
Legend. Legendary.
Yes.
One of my favorite people.
First class human being.
Yes.
Dude, I know you don't like this, Tim, but you're like the Mr. Rogers of wrestling. Everybody loves you.
No, he can't be. Mr. Rogers doesn't drink 2 liters of Coke like it's water.
Coke Zero.
And it's still shredded.
Shredded, yeah.
With a can. With the
you're Captain America, Tim. You are Captain America.
He's
gotta have a gimmick. That's what I got.
Tim, we're talking about our first impressions of Ric Flair's last match and kind of what went through our heads as he came down the ring, as he performed, and all of that. What did you think about when you watched that match? What was your initial reaction to that whole entire night?
I'm only hesitating because this is a hard thing for me. It's like, and I'll put it in context of, let's say, Babe Ruth. I want my memory of Babe Ruth, Michael Jordan. I want my memory of Michael Jordan to be at his height with the Bulls,
right?
Not with the Wizards, you know, not as a player coach. That's that. But, you know, I can get past it. I think George South is the one that I heard say, what do you expect him to do? He's Ric Flair. Do you expect him to go to work at Walmart? Wrestling is what he does. So I get it.
Yeah.
But.
And see, that's where I get, that's where I disagree, because yeah, you might have to go to work at Walmart, but if you're a star, you're gonna end up being the manager. You know what I'm saying? Like that's the problem when someone says, what do you expect me to do? You expect to be like everybody else. This is a gift and it's not forever. I mean, you got, and listen, and people will be like, well, not everyone's going to be, I had to work like hell to get here. When I got let go, I didn't have a pot to piss in. You know, like we've all been there, but you have to have, it's so important for that message that yes, it's simulated combat, but it's still combat and it's still a sport and you can get cut at any time and it can end and the crowd could just move on from you. And you have to, you can't.
You guys said something pretty powerful. And it was, you want your friends to tell you when they think you're done.
Yeah.
You would respect it that way. Do you think Ric Flair did not have that after HBK? Did
no, I think, I and I'm trying to say this respectfully. Say,
hey, man, this is the time.
I think Ric Flair, his name is synonymous. His catchphrase is in every arena in America. When you say woo, everyone knows who you're talking about. He's a household name. He's a legend. And there is always going to be somebody thinking they can get a little more blood out of that turnip. Hold it right there. We'll be back in a bit.
Fox News Radio on demand on the Fox News app. Download the app and just click listen. When you swipe left, you can listen to your favorite Fox News talk shows live. Swipe right for the latest Fox News Radio newscasts on demand. Fox News Radio on the Fox News app. Download it today.
What else is interesting is with Tim here, where Tim, I mean, you have had a really, really kind of cool career path to where you kind of reached the height of your career and really the apex of everything you've done. You know, well into your career where not a lot of people get to follow that path, you know, becoming NWA champion and really the first true champion under the, you know, the new NWA era. And then what was that like? Like, were you expecting that or like, how was that whole process for you? You know, did you think you were done? Did you think your career was kind of finishing up? And then all of a sudden this happens? Because I've always wanted to ask you that.
Well, and it's kind of interesting you ask that because it's kind of parallel to exactly what we're talking about.
I'm very curious.
Here's the way it went, though, is that I didn't know this, but a lot of people, in retrospect, when I won the NWA title, told me afterwards that they kind of thought it was like a pat on the back. Thanks for all your hard work. Here's your reward, you know, your gold watch as you ride off into the sunset. And, you know, that lasted because of the change of ownership that lasted for over a year in what could have been a 1 month deal. So there were a lot of people who really thought that was kind of the swan song on my way out. And that's not the way I looked at it. You know, and I've spent a lot of time with you guys, so you've heard me say this, but when I won that, I didn't know how long I would keep it. My one thought was, I know my name's going to be on that list forever. They can't take me off that list. And that's what was important to me. So the experience of doing it, especially as we talk about Flair's last match and when is it too long and those kind of things. You know, a lot of people thought that that was kind of the end. And like you said, you know, Aaron, that was kind of the start for me. You know, that's most people accept and everybody, the South knew who I was. The rest of the United States and the world didn't. And that was kind of my introduction to, you know, to the rest of the world. And that was thanks to Billy.
I want to talk from the outside looking in, because I did not know Tim Storm until Billy took over and they started doing that 10 pounds of gold series. And that, I feel, brought you out to everyone out in the East Coast, out in the Midwest, because whether you know it or not, and I'm blowing smoke, you were cool. Physically and the way you presented yourself represented an NWA old school champion, and everyone that I talked to in my circles and things like that dug that look into the life of this guy named Tim Storm, who was NWA champion, now traveling around with the NWA trying to build it. They basically built that off your back until you lost it in out in my second home in CW, which is a whole nother podcast in its own, I bet. But that brought your career back to life, or gave it life to, like you said, new people that didn't exist. How did you feel during that? Because your career spans so many years, all of a sudden, when you think you're winding down, now you have this new life. How did that go through your brain? Because I feel that ties into what we're talking about. You're like, oh man, now I'm traveling to places I've never been and companies I've never been for and working in front of these crazy independent companies that I've never seen, these fans that hate me essentially because of what I represent.
Well, it's interesting from the standpoint that I was 100% behind. I wanted to represent because that you guys know I'm passionate about the NWA. The hardest thing that was personally for me to overcome was I was brought into the business old school. There were some things that you didn't open up to anybody. You didn't tell I didn't want anybody to know I was a teacher. I won that title at 53 years old. I didn't want anybody to know I was 53. I worked hard to try to not look 53. And, I didn't want people to know anything about my family because that's what I was taught in the business. So
it should still be like that to
us. Yeah, well, but the whole 10 pounds of gold, the concept was, we think you have a pretty good story and we'd like to tell the world about it. And the hardest part for me to say yes to was opening up anything about my personal life because, we use Flair as the benchmark. I wanted everybody to believe that I was, I was rolling in limos and, I got the Rolex. And the truth is, I'm a school teacher.
I have a major question about that 10 pounds of gold, Tim.
Okay.
Why throughout that whole series did we not get a picture of Magnum TA Tim Storm? And I don't know if you guys know this, but Tim Storm used to have the biggest, bushiest mustache that he looked straight out. I mean, Perp looked just like a thick Magnum TA.
I think actually, I'm trying to remember. I don't want to misquote. I think we actually did.
Did we do that? Did they show the cowboy hat? I mean, have you guys seen early pictures of Mr. Tim Storm?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen him.
Here's the deal. They did because one of my earliest matches was for Trevor, for Harley, up there in Springfield, and it was against Butch Reed.
Ooh, and the natural.
Cowboy,
love him.
Cowboy Tim Storm came out with the full, and I still argue that it was not a mullet, but the full long hair. And I don't know how to say it, guys, other than, because it's not a Fu Manchu. I'm just going to say it was a porn stash. And, this
looks story, like two completely different people. If we take a picture of today, Tim and 15 year Tim
and the same bad knees, but Harley, I have always been and am to this day, a huge Harley mark. So the fact that Harley Race was the booker and he called me over and he said, who's got Butch? And, Trevor, I'll leave the impressions up to you, but who's got Butch? And I said, I do, sir. And he said, listen to him. Here's what you're doing. And I
wait for the flying shoulder tackle, finish, 1, 2, 3.
Bulldog.
It was a bulldog? Okay, bulldog or the flying shoulder tackle.
Yeah, and the real is he beat the absolute crap out of me, And as a not a kid because I was probably 34 at the time, but as a rookie green coming up, it's exactly what I needed.
Tell me you didn't love it though.
Like, oh, absolutely loved it, and I did. What we all did. I thanked him afterwards for.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can't feel my shoulder, but thank you. I love it. I love it. Thank you.
And the truth is, it was an honor to be in the ring with him.
We all do that. It's all that's who we live for, right? Like. To be Absolutely. Have those moments with those guys, to
at least I don't like getting hit.
Well, all right, now I don't. Okay, there's enough talent on this podcast right now. Everybody, like, who's the name that you got a chance to wrestle that, like, you were like, oh, shit, like that. This is badass. Like, we've all been in the ring with him. Everybody, name off one.
Undertaker.
Really?
I'm out.
Right on there.
Tyrus.
Tyrus, do you have one?
Yeah.
Wow, well done.
No, it wasn't. It was actually when I was in Impact. Me and EC3 were beating up Tevita, my son's uncle. And my son was maybe about, I don't know, I think he was about 3 years old. And his grandfather ran out and made the save. And I was in the ring with Haku, and it was everything that I thought it would be. Now,
that's cool.
In the back, you know, he was just like giggling and laughing, and you know, and he's like, "I'll give you a couple chops, do blah blah blah, this, that, whatever, whatever." That was not what happened when he came out there. And what I remember is stopping from smiling the entire time he was hitting me, and he was chopping. He was trying to chop wood. He was going for it, and no problem selling it. And then
you
I cut him off, and he was like, "Oh, ha, ha." And then I knew, here we go. It's about to be, you know, we're about to throw some blows here, but you know, in the safe, aggressive way. But it was awesome. And then he gave me the kick, and then Tavita came in and hit me with a Samoan drop. You know, I rolled out. The place was going crazy, and I'm in there with one of my heroes, and it was cool, and it was fun to be able to go back and forth, you know. And I get to the back, and my son is crying, furious, because he had to be held back because he was going to make the save. Wow. He was going to break up the fight, and he was just so angry. And then I said, "Hey, who were you going to? Whose side were you on?" And he said, "Pause. You were being bad.
He's about to whoop your ass.
He was about to put hands on his own father." So
that's good.
But that to me was pretty cool, you know. And doing promos with Roddy Piper and Mick Foley and punching Tommy Dreamer. I mean, there's a lot of times where you're in there and you're like, "Man, this is cool." You know, WrestleMania with Christian and Edge was all right. You know, so
not a lot of, but bad.
And I mean, Trevor, I'm just assuming, but you always talk about Harley. But was there somebody else?
My first guy was Greg the Hammer Valentine.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
My first name that I got a chance to wrestle, and I was lucky enough that Greg was going to give me a little bit of steam on him. And what's funny is we're right at the gorilla, and Harley's at the gorilla position. And Greg is having me go over what I'm about to do with him. And Harley is listening the whole time. And as soon as I get done, he looks at Valentine and he goes, "The kid doesn't get." And Greg looked at me and goes, okay, just listen. And I was, I was a greenhorn. I was like, "I don't give a shit. This is going to be great." And he went out there and proceeded to beat the out of me. I remember him specifically putting me on my knees, grabbing me by my chin, leaning me back, and driving those big old meat hook forearms right.
He could throw a forearm. I just was watching him. Ooh. I sent you him and Tito Santana's Intercontinental title match at Madison Square Garden. I think it was like last week. I had sent that to you.
Yes.
And I was like, it's physical, you know, because
still a monster.
You guys you're sending matches back and forth. That's interesting. That's very interesting. And you know what was funny, too, is when Tim said, you know, how winning the title and kind of having the second resurgence. With everything you have going on, Tyrus, and I know you and I have talked, and you know, your plans, you know, of walking away from the chase with the title, which you do seem pretty confident about.
Jesus Christ, brother.
I'm just trying to get to the bottom of this. I mean, I thought this is an hour we all get to talk.
But we can do this on a phone call. We're all friends. We can do this on a phone call.
Listen.
This is way better.
Oh, way to be the adult in the room.
You guys need to stop. Oh, no. Hold on. Wait a minute. We're over here talking about Ric Flair. We're talking about legends that we worked. And Aaron Stevens is kind of taking it to a time that we can. No, we can talk about this later. But we're all buddies. You're trying to stir the pot.
I'm trying to get listeners. I'm getting it back to our guest, Tim Storm. That's all.
Okay, let's hear it. Get back Tim Storm.
Well, I just did because, you know, Tim's career and everything and where Tyrus was, you know, talking, you know, what he thought was going to happen. But Tim, can I ask you this? What do you think? I mean, this is the main event and you've done, again, something that is or I thought was impossible where last time we were at the Chase, you wrestled a hardcore match. You went through tables. It was a phenomenal match, right? And physically, it would leave anybody spent. And then it was like a match or two later, you are on
third
commentary.
Match. It's the third match he came back out.
Like
that little towel pat in his forehead, in his suit and tie. He's just got a little towel pat in his forehead. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Thank you for the action. I appreciate it all. You know, it never even happened. He's just patting his forehead and like knocking the sweat off.
You know, Aaron, I think you got a great point. I also would like to know Trevor and Tyrus feel about that main event. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. My bad. here's the irony is that not casting shade on anybody at all. I am of the idea that in most cases, hardcore is kind of what you end up with. You know, when a lot of your abilities are gone, and that's what you turn to, and no clue until the day we got there what the brawl in the loo was.
Wow. Wow.
I had no idea that was going to be.
Yeah, because,
great job, though.
Fighting is fighting. Thank you, and there's nothing more dangerous than a fighter who has experience and wisdom. You know, the guy who fights like a younger man, there's nothing held back and it's admirable, but it's usually a mistake because you blow your wad. And if you don't put the guy away,
you got to have lack of fear too.
Yeah.
You got to, it's not just that. You got to have, not tell it all, Tyrus. You got to have lack of fear.
Yeah. And
did you just say Tyrus is afraid? This is crazy. Wow.
No. I will speak on this. That's the one thing we do. Both everybody needs to understand. I know that when Tyrus looks at me, he has no fear in his heart when it comes to me. But the same thing.
Yeah, Trevor's not. He's not afraid. This isn't the guy who I'm able to stare down and watch him quiver like 90% of the guys I'm in the ring with. This isn't about head games. And listen, Trevor and I send each other a picture of training each day, and it's just one word: accountability. We're gonna fight it out. Win or lose, it's all good. Yeah, there's a lot on line for both of us, but I'm not gonna get into name calling and track because it's beyond that. I wanna know. I think Trevor's one of the toughest guys I've ever been in the locker room with, and I'm about to find out one way or the other. There's nothing wrong. Well, you don't have to listen, when I'm in the ring, I'm gonna hate him. I'm gonna, I don't know, what I'm saying? It's not like it's gonna be wrist locks and arm drags the whole night. It's going to be a damn fight, and I'm preparing myself for that.
We both are.
So, it's not. So what you're saying, Aaron, this is different. This isn't, I don't wish bad on his family. I don't want to roll out of the ring and put hands on his son to get him out of his game. I just want to beat him straight up, and he wants to beat me straight up, and let's see what happens. I know this is different. We're not talking about each other. Yeah, I made the joke about him being ugly, and I apologize for that. Sometimes in front of the camera, you get a little caught up. I have 15 seconds. I'm excited, but I'm trying to be respectful. And as long as he's respectful, I'm going to be respectful. So I see what you're doing, and Tim, you got to call this thing. So, when I'm out there, I'm a competitive, and it's not like you and I haven't had a few cross words in the ring, because we have. Let's not, I'm no angel, not trying to be, but this for me is like, sometimes the best way to be is just straight up and let's see what happens. And that's where you really know if you're a champ or not.
I'm carrying the most prestigious world title in the business, and I would be an idiot to not think that everybody wants it. Hell, that's why I went.
Everybody on this podcast would take this title shot. Every one of you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So people on the outside looking in, it's August 7th and 28th at the world famous Chase. Our two friends, Tyrus and Trevor Murdoch, are fighting for one of the greatest championships in our sport, the NWA 10 pounds of gold. And I know this is a foreign concept to a lot of people that don't really understand it. Those two guys are friends. Yep. They do a podcast together. They text together. But when they step into the ring, they are seeing who is the very best at that moment for one of the greatest championships that we have ever seen. So whether Tyrus called Trevor ugly on national TV in front of 3 million people, he's going to take that.
We keep repeating this
and build it inside. I don't mean to keep bringing it up.
Listen, can I just pause for a minute? We're not the only ones wrestling for gold that night.
No,
Aaron, what are you doing?
Well, I don't think I'm doing anything as far as wrestling goes, but I will have my gold shoes on. And if that alone, that's worth the price of admission. These things are, they're hot, right? You've seen them. I broke them out one time They are absolute fires. Yes. And
that's what everybody talks about in the business. The boys are like, God damn, I can't wait till I get a pair of gold shoes.
Yeah.
That's
well, when you're retired, gold shoes is all you can get.
Well, I guess when you start at the bottom, you stay there, I guess.
Well, yeah. I didn't get retired. I got rewired, okay? And as a journalist, I am trying to get to the bottom of what's going on. And the thing is, okay, look, Trevor, I've known you a long time. Not as long as Tyrus, but I've known Tyrus quite a few years now. Spent quite a bit of time with him. I mean, I think these are head games. You know exactly what you're feeling.
Shut the fuck up. Let's just move.
Whoa.
Like, stop. Let's just move on.
Oh,
all right. Let's move on. I'm starting to get hot.
I mean, and I didn't. Hey, I'm just pointing it out, but I will.
Let's just stop. Let's move on. We were talking about Tim. Tim, what's it like to be a teacher in the pro wrestling business?
Okay, Adam, I'm not even going to. Here's what I want to go back. Tyrus posted I guess it was a meme of a rhinoceros fighting a water buffalo. Two big, powerful beasts with no fear. And that's my expectation for you guys' match. Two huge people who are going to look across the ring at each other. No fear, no backing down. That's what I'm looking forward to.
No outside interference, exactly no posses, none of that stuff. Nope. Straight up, you know, whatever rules that sign, there'll be nobody. There'll be no Jeezy. There'll be no Austin. Jordan, none of that straight up.
Yeah.
But we don't need any more outside interference, paper champions, 9,000 guys on the outside getting involved. Like, if I can beat Trevor straight up, then I should be the champ. And if he beats me, man, he beat me and I will be there. Matter of fact, I will shake his damn hand at the end of the match and tell him he's the man. If I'm standing, because you damn near gonna have to kill me. But the point is, it's all I see. Everybody's taking the easy way to get gold. I beat Pope straight up. So, I mean, it's just.
You're currently undefeated. I am
the reigning, defending, undisputed, undefeated, longest reigning NWA TV champion, television champion of all time. And I'm trying to make history. It's never been done. And for good reason, because it's not an easy task to hold the world television title in the NWA championship. It's never been done. It's been tried. It's failed. The only time it's ever been done in history was in the tag team division. The Midnight Express was the United States tag team champs. And I believe they beat Tully and Arn for the world championships. And for like 1 week, they were the unified United States and world tag team champions. And I think that's the only time in the NWA or world, whatever you want to call it, history where those respected titles were together. We'll be back with much more after this.
So I'm going to look into the future, Tyrus. If you do win the 10 pounds of gold and you do the television title, what are your plans? Are you going to defend both titles on the same night? Are you going to relinquish the TV title?
I'm not sure how it's going to actually work, because I was able to get that stupid stipulation removed from the World Television Championship. The seven.
Stupid thing.
Is one of the most prestigious championships, with all due respect to 10 pounds of gold. Some of the greatest workers have ever worked in this business have held this television championship. The American Dream started it, and I'll be damned if you're just going to give it away for an opportunity. I think probably the right thing to do would be, again, if successful, have my parade, you know, and then at some point relinquish the title and have a tournament, you know. And I think that's the right thing to do. That's the respectful thing to do.
It is the right thing to do. You do carry the second greatest world title in this business.
Well, it's the most seen, though. But it is the most seen title on the planet.
Yeah, but it's not the most wanted.
I didn't pull strings. I asked permission. I went to the office and I said, hey, boss, this is some bullshit. I'm not relinquishing this title. I'll earn my title shot. And
he just said, okay, that's favoritism in my opinion. Trevor, I'd look out for that. I know you're upset with me right now, but I would, you know, there's some manipulation going on. I'll shut up now.
I just think it would be in the best interest of this podcast for Fox News that we go back to the wrestling that we were talking about, because to be honest with you, it's just going to create.
You know, I just that's all. Let's Eagle. What do you have any plans of coming to the NWA?
You know what? Listen, Billy Corgan and I are really good friends. We were friends before he did NWA. He came to my wedding. He brought me $500 worth of tea accessories. I'm trying to get in. And
maybe they don't want him there. He hopefully sounds tight. Like, that might be, you might be the next challenger if I'm not careful.
Hey, well, listen,
he's my former tag partner.
Yes, I'm looking to have a good time. So hopefully I will be at the Chase. It is only about a few hours from me here.
Oh, that'd
Chicago.
Be great,
I'm going to be at the Chase. I'm going to come hang out. I'm going to bring champagne for whoever wins. As soon as you come out through the curtain, we're going to celebrate like Hogan and Andre after beat the Iron Sheik. But if we have to do predictions, I'm going to make a bold statement here. Double champ, baby. Double champ is coming home at the Chase.
You know, you did a really good job of keeping Aaron in line, and then you go and pull this
right at the
You're my friend. Listen, I think I've known you longer than anyone here. Met you in Deep South Wrestling.
Yeah, we were
broke a tryout match, and I'm a loyal guy. And it we're keep here. You said this at the end of the night. Two people are shaking hands. Whoever wins, you both are shaking hands. You're going to be back on the podcast the next week. You're going to be friends. All the crap talk under the bridge. You're two guys seeing who's the best for the night. Trevor, you shouldn't get hot about he said, she said, and let Aaron over here stir the pot. You're going to be friends at the end of the day. You're going to be friends at the end of the day.
And that's fine. I just don't – you guys were mixing business with pleasure. We got a hot thing going on here with the podcast. I know we've got business outside of the podcast, and I just don't want them to cross streams where it becomes an issue for all of us. I love Tyrus just as much as he loves me, and I understand the fact that there's going to be two grown-ass men go in there and going to beat the shit out of each other. This isn't going to be pretty. This isn't going to be calculated. This isn't going to be something that you would probably want to show your children. Because you're going to have two hosses go in there and just lay the wood to each other.
Be honest with me, Trevor. Be honest with me, 100%. Be honest with everyone listening. If you do lose, are you going to shake Tyrus's hand?
Well, I will. This is straight up. I'm a grown-ass man. If that's the case, if that's because ultimately, here's my ultimate belief when it comes to that the world's heavyweight title. I want the best to be the champion. I want the best to be wearing that belt. And if it's not me, then I should respect the next man ahead of me. And if that is Tyrus, I will look at him in the eye and I will shake his hand and tell him he was the better man. Now, will I step away for a week or two? Probably, because I ain't going to sit here and bull nobody. That shit is going to hurt, not only physically, but mentally. I've worked really hard to get where I'm at, and I'm going up against the biggest man in the business. I'm not going to take it lightly, whether I win or lose. But Once the temper tantrum's over and I've done sulking, I'll come back and we'll all be bros and we'll all go back to business. But that's, and I'm just being honest, you know, that's the thing. In pro wrestling, everybody's trying to create a character and not wanting to be real and who they are. If I lose this is going to wreck me. Like, this is my life. I'm the world heavyweight champion. Everybody looks up to me is that when I go to shows, I'm the top dog. I'm the mountain. And any man knocked off the mountain is going to be broken heart. And that's just the truth.
Now, Tim, and again, I apologize. This has obviously got a little out of hand. And as someone who is an educator, right, and is used to kind of dealing with, you know, people not necessarily getting along, right, I'd imagine you've been trained to a degree, right, in how to kind of de-escalate problems.
Yes.
You've done a horrible job here, Tim. You've done a horrible job at de-escalating.
But what do you like based on what you're witnessing now, like kind of like the banter that's going on back and forth, right? And how do you think like that both Tyrus and Trevor's attitude going into the Chase? I guess based on that, what are your predictions? How do you think this will play out? Because you truly are impartial here, and you're going to be on, you know, the headset calling this match for all of us.
I wish there was an emoji of somebody getting choked. I would show that emoji. Just
here's what I'm looking at, though. And here's of all of the men on this talking right now, just between us, just between friends, every single one of us would love the opportunity to be in there fighting for that title. It is the most prestigious title in the history of wrestling. And I know people will argue, but that's just it. That's the truth. I can look at any one of you guys, and we would do it looking into each other's eyes. I would happily beat the shit out of any one of you to win that title. That's just the bottom line. And if
yes, sir.
Well, but here's the thing. You all feel the exact same way. That's why we're in this business. That's why we're in the NWA. So when I look at this as impartially as I can, and you know, I'm not going to make a prediction because my job as a commentator is to call what I see. And if I go into that with any kind of partiality, I can't make a good call on that. But I know that Tyrus and I know that Trevor will do almost anything it takes to win that title. And that's going to be fun. That's going to be fun for me to call, because the easiest match to call for me is something that I can feel and something I can be passionate about. And that's what we're going to see. There is no de-escalation to that. There is no way to bring that down. And the aftermath of that, I'm looking, you know, that's going to be a part of it because, you know, and I don't know, Trevor, I don't know if you want to get into this or at all, you know, to change, but I've known Trevor for, I don't know if it was your first road trip, Trevor.
To Arkansas with Bill Ash?
Yes.
Yeah, it was early on. For sure.
Yeah, it was one of Trevor's first, however, you know, a handful of matches when I met him. I've known him for, I don't know, how long have you been wrestling?
22 years.
Yeah.
So
I've known Trevor for 22 years. So whatever that date was, I've seen him from the very beginning, and I've seen what he was and what he's become. Tyrus is, you said it, man. He's the biggest man in the business and is undefeated. I'm looking forward to see how this is going to come out. And there is no de-escalation to that.
But if you're a gambling man, you had to pick. You had to pick.
Jesus, Eagle.
Give me who you're picking.
Sorry. Do not encourage gambling on this. Come on, man. The class. Have some class.
I'm sorry. You got it. You got under my skin, Stevens, with Stir the Pot. I didn't mean to stir the pot.
I apologize. I just
you got
you
it.
You put your white cowboy hat back on, Ego.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's going to be a great night. It's going to be a great night. Everyone's going to have fun.
Real quiet, right?
Yeah. Hey, you know, sometimes the best thing to say is nothing at all. I'll leave it. I think Trevor said it best. I think Tim said it best. I think Aaron said it worst. And I am just shocked at Evil Ego. I'm just shocked. But I appreciate the love. And like I said, I'm going to, for once in my life, I'm going to do my talking in the ring.
It's a podcast. You have to talk. You just yelled at me for not talking.
I'm
at the beginning of the show. Now you're not talking. Come on, man. People want to hear you.
Did Aaron make a pick, by the way?
No, he didn't.
He never will. He doesn't pick sides. Yeah, he's only there to ruin.
What?
Aaron, you're stirring the pot. Go ahead.
Yeah, man.
No. There is no pot to be stirred. This is just, again, we're just a bunch of friends having a discussion. We have a real situation coming up. It's the 28th, right? It's the second night that you guys will be facing each other. Am I correct?
Night two.
Yes.
Yeah, night two.
Yes. Night two. I mean, look, this is the Chase at St. Louis. I'm excited about this. I'm very, very excited about this. And trust me, I will have the best seat in the house.
Oh, because you get that benefit for being retired, right? That's like a cheaper cup of coffee at a
Absolutely. A I have pictures to take. I mean, you know, people, they want to see me, get a picture, get an autograph. You never know.
But gold
I
shoes be will be there.
Yeah, gold shoes.
I'll be there filming my vlog, and then I'll make sure I'll get Aaron Stevens' gold shoes all over the vlog, and we'll celebrate either way. I know Trent said if he does lose, he would step away and recoup, but I'm confident that the wise men will still be friends, and no hard feelings at the end of the night, because it's a competition. It's a competition, and when you wrestle your friends, that's the hardest one to do. And I honestly believe
and usually that the most painful.
Tyrus and Trevor are going to give it all. Yeah, and I believe you two are going to leave it all out there. And what I'm looking for is the handshake at the end and the party afterwards. I don't think you should step away, Trevor. I don't think you should sulk at a loss. I don't think it should wreck you, because think about it. Tyrus is undefeated. You're not. It's not a loss to the number 20 seed. Okay.
No, don't step away.
I'm going to speak up for Trevor here. It's going to be a hard
one. I'm going to speak up for Trevor a little bit, because I don't know how I'm going to handle the loss, you know, but I will say this. Trevor had his woo-woo, got the luckiest DDT in the history of the world. He took a DDT on the concrete right up there with Steamboat did from Jake the Snake, busted his head. He lost so much blood, he didn't even know where he was. His basically title was taken from him. Before he could even roll out of the ring, Nick the Opportunist Aldis basically steps over his body and cuts him out of the rematch situation. So he feels a certain kind of way, and I get it. I get it. If I wasn't in this match, I'd be rooting for him and watching his back.
Yeah.
Because let's be honest, he was not the choice. He was not what, you know, they wanted somebody else. They wanted the woo-woo and the Nick and all that junk, and he pulled it out. So I'm going to have to pry this from his dead fingers, literally. And I get that, and I respect that. And I'm being cool about it. And you know what? If he's got to go away for a while because he can't handle it, he probably should. He probably should, and maybe it might have to come from one of us. Be like, hey, man, maybe you just need to.
That's a little harsh. That's a little harsh. That was harsh. We're friends. You don't need to say that.
Let me answer this as well, too, though, gentlemen. We all love this business, and I truly believe, and this is what is how I operate. I think you guys are, too. We give our whole hearts. We give everything, not only physically, but emotionally, mentally. And this will be no different. Like everybody really keeps talking about laying it on the line, but we're not really describing what that is. And that's stepping in, out in front of the world and letting everybody know in the world that you're the top dog. And if I'm not that top dog, yeah, it's going to hurt my feelings. And I'm sure it's going to hurt Tyrus's feelings for a minute, but it is what it is. It's we're 100% emotionally involved in this because that's how important it is.
Well, let me stop you just for a second. Because this kind of jumps out at me. I hear Tyrus saying, I'm going to lay it all out there. I'm going to leave it all on the line. I'm not, I have to pry it out of your dead fingers. I will. But he said, I'm not going to get involved in this emotionally. And Trevor, what I'm hearing you say, though, is you can't separate the emotion from that moment and that title. And if it comes down to that, if it comes down to pure emotion, then I got to pick Trevor.
Wow.
You know what? I understand that because you know, and that's your opinion, and you know what it's like to hold that 10 pounds of gold. And I you also know how to lose. You know what it felt to lose like it.
Yeah, I do. Absolutely.
And Trevor does too. He's a 2-time champion. I'm a 1-time champion. I've never lost it. So I have no idea what that experience is like. But I can imagine it's not a good one. So I get it from the emotional standpoint. Yeah, he's probably more emotionally involved than I am, and he should be. But
and that will fuel him, in my opinion. I mean, because he knows what it's like to lose. He knows that feeling. And sometimes,
yeah, because sometimes when you lose, you have to retire, right, Aaron?
that's brought Tyrus. Thank you.
This is the pot that I wanted to be stirred. This.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Here's the thing. To tie into the beginning of this podcast, I knew when to call it quits.
Yeah, because you've been showing your face around my business, so it's amazing. You bug me and then retire, but whatever, man. Yeah, because you're a manager now, right? You trying to steal from Rodney Mac's pot? No, yeah. Okay. All right. Whatever, man. Like Bobby the Brain Heenan, rest his soul, would be so proud of you.
I have this picture. I have this picture of Aaron stirring a pot in like a gold shoe, just kind of floating to the top.
I'm a broadcast journalist. That's all. I am a
what?
Broadcast journalist.
When did this happen?
I'm trying to get the answer right now, apparently. Okay. Someone has to be. Someone has to be the voice of reason. Well, someone has to try to get answers. I mean, these people, they tune in. More and more people are tuning in every week. We have to deliver. We have to provide the answers that people want. I mean, no doubt this is going to be, look, there's going to be more eyes on the NWA August 28th than probably ever in the recent era of the NWA, the modern era. And look, questions need to be answered. And I'm trying to get some kind of answer, but obviously I'm not doing a very good job, or people just don't want to, you know, talk straight. But
you are the biggest fountain of misinformation there has ever been, to Gorilla Monsoon.
Can I just point out that there are five grown men on this podcast, and four have made a pick. Aaron, you're the only one that hasn't, and you're saying you can't give a straight answer.
You are a very observant man. And you know what? I haven't made my pick yet. And what I will do, the podcast before the chase, I will officially, and we can make a thing of it, I will officially make my
pick. He just booked himself.
I'll cut a promo about it. This will be great.
Yes, I will officially make my pick as to how this match ends. Maybe I'll do an Instagram video. Who knows?
Oh, wow. Awesome. Wear the gold shoes. All right, man. For more podcasts just like this, you can check us out at foxnewspodcast.com. Thanks so much, Mr. Storm, for being here. Please come back.
Man. Thank you.
Ego, Aaron, and two-time NWA heavyweight champion, Trevor, thank you guys as always. Enough said.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey there, it's me, Kennedy. Make sure to check out my podcast, Kennedy Saves the World. It is 5 days a week, every week. Download and listen at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.